Okay, if you would be seated, we're going to have, if you're not familiar with this tonight, our Soldiers of Christ, we're going to have about a 30-minute Bible class, and this is for everybody. We've got a class for children and adults, and the idea is to engage us all in the study of God's Word, and so we have put together just some little cards that have questions on them. We are studying through the life of Jesus right now. If you don't have a set of these cards, if you're visiting with us tonight, obviously you don't have a set. And so if you want to look at these and see what we're studying and be able to follow along, if you're visiting with us tonight, if you'll raise your hand, Grayson will gladly come and give you a copy of this. If you're a member here and you keep raising your hand and needing one of these, well, just ask for one of these. We've got binders. If you're a member here and need a binder to put it in so that you can bring it back every week, that's the deal. Get your own copy, bring it back every week, put it with your Bible, put it with your car keys so that when you lose your keys, you lose your Soldiers of Christ field manual. But when you find your keys, you find your Soldiers of Christ field manual, and you bring it back with you every Sunday night. So we're studying through the life of Jesus, and as we have done this, what I'm going to do tonight, all of tonight is review of what we have talked about up to this point. And it's going to be kind of some rapid-fire review to see, okay, how much do we know? How much have we learned? Now, obviously, some of this is very easy, and some of you sit here and say, I already know this. Fantastic! I'm glad you know it. Guess what? There are some younger individuals next to you that they need to learn it too. The more you're engaged, the more you're participating, the more they want to learn it and to be a part of it. By the way, these questions are, the quizzes for these are on our website. You go to our Bible study, go to our website, go to the Bible study menu, the tab up at the top, it drops down. I think it's the first option at the top is Soldiers of Christ, right there on the Bible study menu. You can go there, you can sign up and start taking the quizzes on the life of Christ, the questions that we've got that we're going through right now. You can do that. We're not checking on the back end. I don't even know how to do that, to check on the back end to see what you're doing, how you're doing. It's just all personal. But you kind of put your information in there, and it keeps track for you. How you doing on your quizzes? They're fun quizzes. There's actually, most of them are multiple choice, and you'll find some of the multiple choice to be interesting options for multiple choice. But go in, take the quizzes, enjoy doing it, encourage your kids to be a part of it as well. And let's learn the Bible. Let's learn it together. So, I know you know the answer to this, but what's the theme of the whole Bible? Nope. It's two words. Theme of the whole Bible in two words, Jesus Christ. All right, eight of you knew that. I expect eight more of you to learn that next week, all right? Theme of the whole Bible. What's the theme of the book of Numbers? Jesus Christ, good. What's the theme of the book of 1 Chronicles? Jesus Christ, great. What's the theme of the book of Jeremiah? Great, why? Because those books are in the Bible. Now, I know each of those books has its own individual theme, but what's the whole theme of the whole book? Jesus Christ. So what are you going to read about in the whole book? You're getting to Jesus. When you're reading the Old Testament, guess where it's going? It's going to Jesus Christ. So that's our three-sentence summary, all right? Three-sentence summary of the Bible is what? Someone is coming. Someone is here. Someone is coming again. Do we know that? Who is that someone? Jesus Christ, because that's the theme of the whole Bible. That's not hard to get. David, you know it, buddy. Jesus Christ, he is the end-all of everything. So, can you name for me, there are not four Gospels. Don't misunderstand. There are not four Gospels. How many Gospels are there? One Gospel. How many accounts of that one Gospel are there? Four accounts of the one Gospel. One Gospel. David's already answering the question. All right, hang on a second. All right, so David, can you name the four accounts of the Gospel? What'd you say?
Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John.
See, if David can get it, then all of you can get that. Levi, I heard you, buddy. I heard you. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. All right, so what does gospel mean? What does it mean? Good news. Is it good news about Jesus? Because he's the theme of the whole Bible. Good news about Jesus Christ. Now, so we've already said, what are those four gospels account? They're about the life of Jesus Christ. We know those questions. All right, so here's what we're going to do tonight. We're going to kind of enter in to five different arenas, five different rooms, five different cubbyholes here. And we're going to talk about the questions that we have covered so far in five different compartments, all right? And we're going to take this down the line of everything that we've studied kind of in a chronological way. So we're going to start by talking about the eternal existence of Christ. When did Christ come into existence? He's always been. Did Christ exist before Jesus was born? Yes, he did. Because he's God. So we've got to get that, in our mind. We've got to get the eternal existence of Christ in our mind. So if you're looking at your cards, if you're looking at the yellow cards, these first three questions are going to be on the prophet card. The first prophet card are going to have these first three questions. All right? These are key questions, and in just a couple minutes, I'm going to get some young men to come and help me learn some of these things. But I want all of us to learn these three questions. In the beginning, Jesus was what? With God and was God. That's the answer to the question we're looking for. In the beginning, Jesus was with God because he was what? He was God. Is that the eternal existence of Christ? He has always been. Now, what role did Christ have in the creation? He created everything. What does John chapter 1 verse 3 say? He created all things, and without him, there was nothing made that was made. So, how many things did Jesus make? Everything. He made it all. If Levi can get that, everybody can get that. Now, so the Word made everything, and then John 1 and verse 14 says, the Word became what? Flesh and dwelt among us. If you've got your yellow prophet card, something we have not covered explicitly as we've gone through this is looking at the memory verses. If you've got your yellow prophet card, there is a memory verse on that card. Have you memorized this verse? This is not a hard verse to memorize. And so I want to see if there's anybody who has memorized this verse. Caleb, have you memorized this verse? I think you have. Lucas, have you memorized this verse? I know you've memorized this verse. So let's see. Levi, I think you know this verse. Caleb, come on up here. Caleb, I'm going to start with you. Caleb is looking like Jesus tonight because he's wearing sandals. Jesus wore sandals. And so Caleb's trying to be like Jesus. He messed up his toe, and so now he has to wear sandals. So now he looks like Jesus. So Caleb, come up here where everybody can see you, because we want to make sure that they can see you. So Caleb, I want you to come up here and stand next to the eternal existence of Christ. And we're talking about John chapter 1 and verse 1. Do you know that verse?
Yes.
Can you say it?
Yes. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Good job. You know that verse good. All right, go back and sit down. I might get you to come up later on. Lucas, do you know that verse? Come here, Lucas. Lucas is dressed better than anybody in this room tonight. Lucas looks better than all of you put together. All right? All right, come up here, Lucas. You stand next to the eternal nature of Christ. All right, buddy. Do you know John 1 and verse 1? You are awesome. What does it say?
John 1:1. In the beginning, the Word was flesh. And the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was God.
Awesome. Good job. I need a shirt and a tie like that. All right. Good job, buddy. I think I might get you to come back up here in just a minute. All right. Let's see. Rod, you know this verse, right? You know this verse, Rod? All right, Rod, come on up, bud. All right, Rod. Rod just got back from snow skiing. I feel so bad for Rod. He had to go out to the mountains and go snow skiing. So here he is, the great athlete. You know John 1, verse 1?
Mm-hmm.
All right, go for it.
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
Good job, bud. All right, I'm glad you're back safe. You didn't hurt your toe like Caleb did when you were out there snow skiing. All right, David, you know this verse, right? Come up here, bud. Look at this. Awesome. Got another bow tie. All right, bud. You know John 1 and verse 1, right? Come up here. Step forward so your mom can see you. Good job. All right.
In the beginning, the Word was, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God.
Good job. Great job, bud. Very good. Levi, where are you, man? Come on up, Levi. I know you know this verse. All right. Levi just reminded me that we didn't ask you all to fill out attendance cards tonight. Levi helped me remember that. Did you fill out an attendance card tonight? Nope. All right, don't do it right now because he's going to quote a verse. All right, come here, bud. I love that shirt. All right, do you know John 1 and verse 1? All right, what does it say?
In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God.
Awesome. Good job, buddy. Excellent. Confidence like nobody else. All right, do you all know that verse? Do you all know John 1 and verse 1? In the beginning, can you all say it with me? In the beginning, the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You got that? Do you know how critical that is to know? Do you know how critical that is to know that that's in the Bible? There's so many people that will not teach that. And in fact, some people say that Jesus was just a God or he was a created being. What does the Bible say? Not so. That's not the way that it is. Now, what happened with this word in John 1 and verse 14? Another one of our memory verses is in John 1 and verse 14. Lucas, do you know John 1 and verse 14? I think you know John 1. Come up here, Lucas. Come back up, Lucas. Let me see if you know John 1 and verse 14. You need to come stand next to the eternal nature of Jesus sign. All right. Lucas also helped me remember you haven't filled out attendance cards yet. But don't do that because he's going to quote a verse here in just a second. Maybe I'll remember those cards in a minute. All right. You know John 1 and 14?
Yep. In the beginning, the Word
was with God.
And the Word was God.
The Word became flesh.
And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory.
Good job, bud. Good job. Caleb, do you know this verse? Come here, Caleb. I know you know this verse too. I will not ask you to run up here. That would be a bad idea. You might go back to your urgent care for another toe injury. So just walk. All right, you're setting a good example for all of the children in here. Don't run in the building. Just walk, right? All right. All right, so here we go. You know, John, I don't even have to kneel down for you. Boy, that'd be so. All right, John 1 and 14.
I forgot it. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory.
Good job. Good job. You get up here in front of all these scary people and you forget stuff. It is automatic. I'll tell you, it happens every week. All right. Do we know that verse? The Word became flesh and dwelt. Who's the Word? Jesus is the Word. God is the Word. That's real. That really happened. That's not just fiction. That's not make-believe. It really happened. So when you start working through the John chapter 1, what is it about? John chapter 1 is about the eternal nature of Jesus. It's about the fact that Jesus has existed forever. Now, sometimes maybe, are you sometimes maybe not good with memory verses? You sometimes like, oh man, I can't memorize it like Caleb and Lucas and Rod and Levi and David do. I just can't get it like that. Are you sometimes like that? That's why on some of these cards we have key locations. See, a key location is made for the rest of us that can't memorize a verse. Because a key location says, all right, maybe I can't remember the exact wording of the verse, but I know where it is. I know where to find it. That's the purpose of the key locations, is for us to be able to know where a Bible truth is found. So where do we learn? Tell me the Bible verse where we learn in the Bible that Jesus is eternal. John 1:1. He's eternal. He's always been. If you need a verse when you're talking to somebody to prove Jesus is eternal, turn and read John 1 and verse 1. Let the Bible teach that Jesus is eternal. If you needed a verse to show somebody Jesus isn't a created being, Jesus created everything himself. What's a good verse to use for that? John 1 and verse 3. He made everything. Without him, there was nothing made that was made. You don't have to memorize the verse. Just know where it is. So if they want to tell you that Jesus was created, you say, no, that's not possible because he created everything. Where does the Bible teach that God became flesh and dwelt among us? John chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 14. So you don't have to have those verses memorized like these young guys do, but you can be one who can just remember that's where it is, turn over and read it with somebody. That's the purpose of the key locations. Now, Isaiah made a prophecy about the coming of Jesus. What was Isaiah's prophecy? And this is on the king card, so this is on a higher level card than the prophet card and the priest card. But what was Isaiah's prophecy about the coming Jesus? Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a daughter, girl, female. Oh, wait, did God specify a gender? Oh, go figure. That God would, that behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Huh. So when Jesus came, what gender did Jesus have to be? Could he change his gender? No. He was born a boy, he was raised a boy, he lived as a boy, he died as a boy. He was a male all the way through. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and shall bear a son. Somebody says, well, not sure I can memorize the verse. Okay, can you remember where it's located? Where's the verse that teaches us that Jesus was born of a virgin? You got this on your, is this on your prophet card, or your priest card? Jesus was born of a virgin. Where's that key location? Matthew chapter 1, verse 23. That's Isaiah's prophecy, Isaiah 7, verse 14. But that is that's where it's fulfilled in Matthew 1, verse 20. That's a verse, it's a memory verse too. If you look on your king card, it's a memory verse. But it's okay if you don't memorize it. Just know where it's found as one of the key locations. So, what does Emmanuel mean? God with us. Jesus wasn't just somebody. Jesus was God on this earth. And God said, call his name Emmanuel. What were three anointed roles that Christ fulfilled? They're the names of your cards. Prophet, priest, and king. Why is that called anointed roles? In order to be a prophet in the Old Testament, guess what you had to have done to you? You had to be anointed. To be a priest, you were anointed. To be a king, you were anointed. Do you know what the word Christ means? The anointed one. Huh. Christ, New Testament word, from Messiah, Old Testament word, you know what it means? The anointed one. Was Jesus anointed? He was the anointed prophet of God, the anointed priest of God, the anointed king of God. That's why we need to learn those three things. That's what sets Jesus apart from anybody else. How many prophecies were made about this coming Messiah? 332. 332, David, you got it. Now, David, let me ask you something. How many? Okay, I'm going to ask you a question, and then I'm going to go ask that other guy over there on the other side a question. And the answer is going to be the same number. Got it? The answer is going to be exactly that. I'm asking two different questions. The answer is exactly the same. All right, here we go. All right, so how many prophecies were made about Christ in the Old Testament?
332.
So that's a lot of prophecies, right? So 332 prophecies were made about Christ. Now, Levi, I want to ask you another question, all right? We know how many prophecies were made in the Old Testament about Jesus. How many of those prophecies were fulfilled by Jesus?
332.
Good job. Now, it's one thing for those prophecies to be made, right? Big deal. Anybody can make 332 prophecies. How many of those 332 prophecies were fulfilled? Every single one. You know why that's important? That's the only way that he could be the Christ. That's the only way he could be the promised Messiah. What if he fulfilled 330? Wow, that's a lot. That's great. Man, you get like a 98%, 99% on your test. You're doing great, Jesus. What if he only filled 330? See the Christ? Oh, boy. We got so close. We thought you were him, but you just missed two. Well, we'll just give it to you. We'll grade on the curve and you can have them. Not the way it works, is it? Jesus had to fulfill all 332 of those prophecies. Genealogy of Jesus, who is he the son of? Son of Abraham, son of David, and where do we read about that? What's your favorite chapter when you get to the New Testament? What are the 17 verses you skip every time? Matthew chapter 1, verses 1 through 17. You read about the genealogy of Jesus. What are we learning about the eternal existence of Christ? How long has Christ existed? He has always existed. All right, so we go to channel number two. We're going to go through this one quicker. That was a long episode. We're going to go to some shortened episodes. Y'all ever fast forward episodes just to get to the end of them? That's what we're doing here. All right, so we got John the Baptist. We've got the John the Baptist channel that we're looking at tonight. Now, who was the forerunner of Jesus? I just gave you the answer. Y'all cheated. It's John the Baptist. His name is already up here. Now, what Old Testament prophet was he likened to? Y'all know that one? Elijah. He was likened unto Elijah. What were his parents' names? All right, that one got a little bit harder. Y'all weren't as forthcoming with Zacharias and Elizabeth. What kind of people were Zacharias and Elizabeth? You need to grow up and name your son Zacharias. That's what you ought to do. Have a grandchild named Zacharias. Wouldn't that be great? What kind of people were Zacharias and Elizabeth? Were they nice people? Good people? You know how they're described? They're described as righteous before God. They're described as individuals who kept the commandments of God. You know why John the Baptist turned out the way he did? It's because of Zacharias and Elizabeth. It's because of the parents that he had. And the way that they raised him. Go and read Luke chapter 1 where they were told how to raise him. You get to these priest questions. Questions about who announced the birth of Jesus. Gabriel did. What was the sign given to John? What would he not be able to do? It's every wife's dream. Her husband couldn't speak. She's like, 9 months and you can't talk? Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Except when they came and asked her, what are you going to name him? What'd she say? John. When they said, you don't know what you're talking about, lady. We're going to go ask your husband. What did he write? John. And then he could talk again. You think Zacharias and Elizabeth believed in God? You think they put that belief and that faith into their son? Yeah. That changed his life. It molded and shaped him and put him on a path. Now, what was the response? What was the response of baby John when Mary came and spoke? When she goes to see Elizabeth and she's 6 months pregnant and little baby John hears Mary speaking, what does little baby John do in the womb? Leaped up in the womb. Is that pretty good? When you see a baby leaping up in the womb, what does that tell you? Now, we've got a key location. What card is this on? King card. This is way up on the advanced king card. And way up on the advanced king card, what does it say? There is a key location. And the key location is what? That there is a word used for babe about life in the womb that's the same for the word babe outside the womb. What does that mean? Who was it? What was it that leaped? You know the Greek word for babe in Luke chapter 1 and Luke chapter 12? You know what the Greek word is? It's placenta. That's what it... No, it's not. It's not placenta. You know what the Greek word that's used there? It's baby. That's the word that's used there. It's not talking about a placenta. It's not talking about some other term that we might use to describe something to make it sound like it's non-living. Luke chapter 1 says it was a babe who leaped in her womb. In Luke chapter 2, and here's your companion passage in verse 12. Companion passage, when they took baby Jesus, what did they do with baby Jesus when he came out of the womb? They laid baby Jesus in the manger. What word is used to describe Jesus outside of the womb? A baby. Do we get that? Do we see what was this thing called outside of the womb? It's a baby. Same English word, same Greek word. What was that thing called inside the mother's womb? It was a fetus, right? It's called a fetus, and then it was called a child. Forget that. God said they're the same thing inside and outside the womb. By the way, same word. Same word. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to... Let me think. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul is writing to... Five of you heard the hint that was given. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Paul is writing to chapter 3. He's writing to a guy named Chapter. He's writing to Timothy. And he says to Timothy that you have known the Holy Scriptures. Do you know how long he told Timothy that he's known the Holy Scriptures? From some of your, what your Bible might say, from childhood, you've known the Holy Scriptures. Do you know what Greek word is used there? Same one that's used here. Same word for baby in the womb and out of the womb is the same Greek word over in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. How long had Timothy known the Scriptures? From infancy, from babyhood, he had known the Holy Scriptures. What does that tell you about life? When does life begin? It begins at conception, and there's a baby inside that womb, and there's a baby outside that womb, and it is, in God's eyes, it is the same thing. We don't need to be persuaded by our society to think any differently than the way God thinks. No matter how much pressure they put on you, no matter how many terms they use to make you feel like they're more educated than you, you're educated because you're God educated. And that's the highest degree you can possibly attain, is to be God educated. And God educated says, that's a baby inside that womb. That's alive. And I'm thankful for the new law that passed in our state that at least brings it down to 15 weeks. But guess what? It's a baby before 15 weeks, before 14 weeks, before 10 weeks, before 8. That is a baby. That is a living being from the moment of conception. That individual has a soul given by God. The Bible says, and I am way off track with this, but that's okay. The Bible says in James 2 and verse 26 that the body without the spirit is... Six of you know that verse. The body without the spirit is dead. Is that just a dead thing in the womb? No, because that thing in the womb has a spirit given by God. And so when the spirit is given, guess what it has? Life. When does that life come? At the moment of conception. We need to stand on that and not be persuaded to move from it. Key chapter, Luke chapter 1, what does it tell us about? The birth of John the Baptist. You want to read about when John was born or read about that whole episode with Zacharias and Elizabeth? You read Luke chapter 1. All right, we are within a minute and a half of needing to be done, and we've talked about 2 out of 5 channels. Not good. Not going to finish. Who does it surprise that we didn't finish tonight? One person is surprised that David didn't finish what he set out to do. Go figure. All right, so we'll finish this next week. Thank you all for being here tonight. You are dismissed.